Good morning. My name is Kim Harris, and I used to drive myself absolutely crazy wanting to make changes. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'd get myself all riled up. I'd be thinking, that's it. I'm going to make this change. I'm going to start exercising tomorrow. And then tomorrow would come and I would find myself pressing the snooze button and staying in bed. I believe that knowing the change process and knowing about it and how you can actually support yourself with a change by understanding kind of like the mechanics of change, it can really, really aid you in making any kind of change that you can conceive of really in your life. And there's obviously some really common ones, like want to, for example, increase our income. It's kind of that time. It's a bit of a crunch time at the moment with the economy, and I know we could all use a few dollars in the bank at the end of the week, so maybe that's a change that you might be interested in making. There are obviously ones like I just mentioned, improvements to health, and there's all types of health changes that can support us, so mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, and even the health of our bank balance is always a good thing too. Or perhaps it's something different for you. Maybe you would just really love to improve a relationship with somebody, your boss, a colleague, a partner, a child, your mother, your father. It could be just about anyone. So plenty of changes where you can apply the change process. And that's what we've been talking about. I am Kim Harris. As I said, I'm the founder and CEO of the Conscious Thinking Company. And I've been running this change project for the Yarra Valley community. It's an initiative of the Yarra Valley Economic Recovery Committee from the Yarra Rangers Council, and they asked me to come along and support you guys in making some changes in your life. And the best way to do that sometimes is just by knowledge, just knowing how. So I'm going to be unpacking today the 9 processes of change, which I'll go into in more detail. But before that, let's play a song. We've had lots of news and lots of ads and all those sorts of things. So let's play a song. I've got here Birds of Tokyo, I'd Go With You Anywhere. Enjoy this one. Welcome back. It is 20 minutes past 8 and you are listening to Stories of Change. I'm Kim Harris. We're talking about the 9 common processes of change. And for those of you who've been listening along, we know that there are 6 stages of change. And if you have missed the show previously, we do have a podcast of all the episodes up on our website. So that's yarravalley.org.au. So you can go back and catch up there if it takes your fancy. So we've got 6 stages of change and we've got ways of progressing from one stage to the next. And that's where these processes come in handy. So last week we talked about the first 3, which were consciousness raising, which is a really important one, social liberation and emotional arousal. And today we're going to be talking about the next 3. So we've got self-re-evaluation, commitment and countering. So we're going to be talking about those processes today. So the first one, self-re-evaluation, what am I talking about there? Well, self-re-evaluation is really a thoughtful and emotional reappraisal of a situation. So it's kind of where you step back and take the role of a kind of like an observer in your life, and you start to assess, what is it that you really want? Who do you really want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? What kinds of changes do you really want to conquer, you know, and really make part of your life and experience from this day forward? When and how you experience conflicts between who you are now and who you want to be, we often experience what's called cognitive dissonance. So there's like this middle ground. It's not sort of like a no man's land, and it can be quite a disconcerting place to be at times. It can be a little bit uncomfortable. So what do we do in, you know, this is sort of, what do we do in that space? And when you realize and truly believe life will be better when you change, that's often when we get that necessary commitment that starts to drive the change process. So self-evaluation is really important. We're also doing a couple of really specific evaluations sometimes. So we might be evaluating the cost of it. And I don't mean just the financial cost, but the cost in time, the cost in energy. We can also sometimes give up pleasures, temporary pleasure, for something that we know in the long term will provide a lot more gratification rather than just a momentary pleasure. We also have to evaluate the cost to our stress levels, because when you make a change, your stress level is likely to go up at times. You're going to feel the pressure and tension sort of mount up in your body sometimes. And there are costs sometimes to our self-image as well. So as people knew you to be one particular type of person and you're transitioning to become somebody quite different, we do have sometimes a cost to that self-image. So this is a great process and really helpful in a simple way. All we're really doing, it's like weighing up the pros and the cons of a situation. We're really going thoughtfully and deeply into, well, what will be good about this? Well, what might be not so good? And am I okay with that? So really, really a wonderful process to learn how to do. And it reminds me of a technique as well. So within each process, there are kind of little techniques or little micro changes that sometimes we can go through to help us with these particular processes. And one came to mind for this one. I was actually thinking about a person that I know who's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. And one of the major reasons right now that they're having a lot of trouble even accepting this diagnosis is because they're massively inflexible, right? So the self-evaluation process allows you to put some time and space or distance between you and your change and just look at it much more objectively. And from there, we can gain some flexibility because we are deciphering what is the pros of this, what are the cons of this, what is good about this, what is not so good about this. So their ability to respond to this change has really diminished to the point where any kind of deviation to what they're doing is has been quite hard for them to accept. So it's been quite devastating, naturally so. So staying flexible in your body, of course, but also in your mind when we get these unexpected results like a doctor's report or anything that can happen unexpectedly can be really important to maintain that sense of flexibility. So if you can go with the flow and change your circumstance, you will survive no matter what the circumstance is. And if you can take this role of the observer and start to more consciously go through a bit of a self-evaluation, you can anticipate your needs within that change before it really knocks you down completely. This means you can recover faster, you can get back on your feet faster. Sometimes that's all you need, so that you can start to rebuild from there and make a plan to move forward from there, regardless of where you're at. Yeah, so flexibility, that's an example of a change, a micro change. If we can adopt this idea of, well, I might need to just change inside myself to be more flexible and just to kind of roll with the punches and understand that life's not always fair, and sometimes we do get these things that come along and knock us, you know, for a curveball. So, flexibility inside is an example of a technique that we can use inside of the self-evaluation process. So something to think about there. But so I'm going to play a song now as I lead into the second one that I'm going to cover off today, which is the commitment process. This is all about taking it step by step. So this song is by Rich Mullins, Step by Step. Enjoy. It's 8:35. This is the Stories of Change show with Kim Harris, and I've got my very favourite friend in here. Bruce Argali's popped in to have a chat and listen along to the show. We've just been talking further about the role of self-evaluation in the change process, and we've been talking about some examples of that, which was really interesting, and just talking about how powerful this can be as a process in life and how not everyone knows that it's available for them. Sometimes this self-evaluation process is a bit unknown, but just to go through the process of creating pros and cons and weighing things up can sometimes help you work out, well, what is the goal really? Sometimes we need to change the goal because what we thought the goal was sometimes changes in the evaluation process. Yeah, so lots to think about, but definitely a great process to consider to support yourself. And let's talk about commitment then. Commitment is a good one. What I really like about the commitment idea is once you have chosen to make a change, like I'm talking about when you're really like at that spot where, right, that's it, this has got to change, I must change this, I've got to change this now, I just can't go on with things the way they are any longer. What you're doing in that process is you're actually taking responsibility for the process. So that's what commitment is. It's like where you say, okay, I really want this change. I've really decided I want it, and I'm going to take responsibility for that change. It's actually another way of thinking about self-liberation. It's like liberating yourself from something that you no longer wish to have be a factor in your life. And it's that self-acknowledgement that you're kind of acknowledging. You're sort of saying, yeah, I can respond and speak and act differently, and I'm going to do this for myself because I really, really, really want this change. So in the beginning, commitment can start very privately. It's like an internal, intrinsic force where you're kind of going, I'm going to take responsibility for this. I'm going to acknowledge myself and that I want this change. And then gradually we can start to go public with this change. And I do encourage people to go gradually, because there are people out there who will who are not trained in this kind of way of thinking. So you might go out and very well-meaningly say, I'm going to make this change. And they'll be watching you, and they'll be waiting for you to take some corresponding action. And they can be a little bit judgmental if they don't see you doing things in the way that they think you should be doing it if you really were committed to the change. So the people that we choose to go public with actually are a really, really important factor in change work. So make sure you're around people who, and give them this show, give them the podcast, so that they can listen along and understand the stages of change, and so they can understand, well, you're just in this process. So let's apply this to the stages of change. Let's apply commitment. So commitment is a process that is commonly seen between the preparation stage of change and the action phase. So it's where you sort of go, okay, I've done all the self-evaluating, I've got all of the plans in place, I'm committed to taking these actions. So it really, really helps you to go from preparation into action, having commitment. So that's an example of how we start to use it. And when we've got really good people in our life and we've shared this change that we're going to make, they'll actually be an increase in supportive factors for you. So they'll be the ones that encourage you, that champion you, that on the days when you might have a little setback, they'll be the ones that encourage you to get back on the horse. It's okay. It's okay if we miss one workout. It's just not a good idea to miss 10 years of workouts that's when we find we get into trouble. So we want to reverse and stop any patterns of inaction. So our supportive partners can be just gold, worth their weight in gold at this stage of change. So that's commitment. Now, another thing I like to think about with regard to commitment, so there might be a change that you are prepared to make. So you're in the stage of preparation, you're ready, you've got a plan in place, you've thought about it, you've evaluated, you know what you're going to do. So I would really encourage you, if you're in this, using this process of commitment, and you're in the stage where you're ready to start taking action, I would encourage you to take action immediately, now preferably. So for example, let's say you do have a goal around being a bit healthier, then I would encourage you to walk right now to your sink and get a glass of water. I know it sounds a little bit simple, but when we take action on our goal within 24 hours, it's incredibly powerful. So it's actually connected to the commitment factor. So if you decide and you're committed, this is it. This is going to change from this day forward. I'm going to liberate myself from this behavior that's just driving me bananas. The best thing you can do is set yourself a task in the next 24 hours to take action on it. It's a really, really good way of starting to cement the commitment toward the change in your life. So that's a great technique. And I guess when it comes, and that speaks into the kind of the technique that I'm talking about, is just taking that first little step. So there's a quote by Goethe which says, whatever you can do or dream, you can begin it. And I think, you know, we've all seen that little Nike swoosh and it's got just do it. Well, I think it's more apt to actually think just start. Just start. We live in a time that can be very unsettling sometimes, and we can look around and we know we want to do something. We just don't know what it is. But we don't want to go, you know, we don't want to look back 20 years from now and go, oh my God, I just didn't do anything. I just failed to act and, you know, the world was falling apart, but I just didn't do anything. Be that one person who says, actually, I'm not going to leave this up to somebody else. I'm not going to leave this up to someone with more resources or better ideas, or I'm going to let someone else take care of that for me. I'm going to be the one that really, because I think it's the only thing that really matters, is that it's what you want to do. And so start now, begin it, and that is all. So I'm going to play with that little section. I've got to go into another song now, which is called Three Little Words, and it's by Mal Torme. Enjoy this one. It's 8:46 and we've been talking about... Sorry about that. We're having a few technical glitches this morning. Don't worry about a thing, Kim. Everything's fine. We've got songs not playing when we're pressing play and songs playing when we're pressing stop. This is a fantastic turn of events. Good thing that I'm flexible and can cope and roll with these punches. All right, we're talking about some processes of change this morning, and this one's a really good one. So countering is all about substituting. So this is where we are actually counter conditioning ourselves. So it's to do with our behavior. So some of our behavior is very conditioned, like we will do things without even thinking about it. And there are examples of this, like, you know, when you jump in your car and you drive from A to B and you haven't even thought about, you know, how you did that. And it's because you've probably been driving for decades. The behavior is conditioned. And there are also behaviours that sometimes arise out of the consequences of our mood. So if we feel good, we often do good. And you'll know plenty of examples in your own life of that. So what we're doing with countering is we're trying to understand the underlying need and then adopting a healthier option to meet that need. And we want to substitute our behaviours for things. And I'm going to talk about a bit of an example of this. So that's why I played the song Three Little Words, because we all think of the three little words, I love you, right? They're the easy ones, but there are not easy ones. And this is an example of how we can counter and actually arrest something and do something different in its place that can actually lead on to a much better and more profound outcome. So an example of this is in my marriage. I used to have this kind of righteousness all of the time with my ex-husband. And I remember this one time we were in the kitchen and he was talking about something, and normally I would jump and just make him wrong and I'm right, and, you know, we'd have an argument. And this one particular day, I actually just stopped myself and I really listened to him, and I thought, actually, you're right. And so the not easy three words is, I was wrong. I was wrong. And with that, my ex actually cried because I think that was a really significant moment in our marriage where he had just been feeling so wrong often, and I had been berating him obviously for quite some time. So that was a real moment where I realized that I was countering. My normal behavior would have been to go into argument and go into conflict and feel right about it, but actually I stopped myself and countered my behavior and said three different words, and they weren't necessarily easy to say, but I tell you what, when I saw the effect that they had and just the relief on my ex-husband's face, I knew I was onto something. So countering is about substituting behavior for something else. And as I said, when I was talking about commitment, self-liberation and self-acknowledgement is something I can only I can do it. Only I can choose to respond to someone in a particular way. Only I can choose to speak or act in a different way. So in really liberating ourselves from some problematic behaviours, this particular process can be really helpful. And there's lots of examples of countering out there. So it might be, for example, sitting in a no-smoking area if you're a smoker. We want to just move away from any kind of problematic behaviours that don't support the change that we're ideally wanting. Yeah, so that's an explanation of countering and a personal example from my life. I'm going to play another song here. It's Five for Fighting Superman, so enjoy this one. That last song was a Superman. I'm not Superman and it's not easy. And I played that song very specifically because what we're talking about isn't easy. And as Bruce and I were just talking about off air, it can seem very overwhelming when you take all this information that I'm giving you, I'm giving it to you all in big one lump sum. And it can be a bit, you might be sitting there feeling a little bit overwhelmed, and that's okay. Like, it's really okay to be feeling that way. Obviously, in a therapeutic context, if you were working with a coach or working with a psychologist or a counsellor, this would be something that they take you through one step at a time. So I'm giving it all to you, like a huge overview, so that you can hopefully see yourself, because a lot of us actually don't need to go and see a psychologist or a coach or a counsellor at all. We can actually, all change ultimately is self-change. And especially once we know the process and once we learn it, some of us are really able to just go off and do it and achieve it all by ourselves. So don't feel like this is a lot of information. You don't have to learn it all at once. And that's the benefit of having this podcast, so we can listen to it and re-listen to it if we need to. They talk about, it's a really, really good strategy actually in learning. A lot of people will say, oh, you got to read 100 books a year. But no, you really don't. Sometimes it's like reading one really significant, awesome book, and you just read that book 20 times and just watch that information explode in your, yeah, feel free to listen to this over and over again. And I'm going to move on and just give a little bit of a summary, because we're coming up to 9 o'clock. So today we've talked about three of the further processes that support us from moving through the stages of change. We've talked about self-reevaluation, which is a really helpful process that can take you from perhaps contemplation into preparation, or preparation into action. It can be really helpful there. We've also talked about commitment. Our commitment is really helpful, again, within between preparation and action, but it can also be really good between action and maintenance, because sometimes when we've been doing the change, we're taking action for a while, we can become a little bit complacent, and we can kind of think, oh well, I've been exercising every day for 6 months, I can, you know, take one day off, that's fine. And so what we want to do is we want to be quick to arrest any kind of change in behavior that's actually going to take us backwards. And so self-evaluation can really help at those sorts of phases of change. And we also talked about countering behaviors is just substituting things. So it's like looking at, if I have a need to relax, for example, I could have a cigarette, or I could have a drink, or I could go for a run, or I could, you know, call a friend and have a really big, deep and meaningful. So they're examples of where we're substituting our behaviour that might meet the same need underneath it. So quite often, you know, we've had a stressful day, we want to relax, and relaxing is good. So it's looking at, well, how else might I be able to relax rather than using this behaviour or anything like that. So that's where countering fits in. So that's what we've talked about today. As I said, this will be available podcast on yarravalley.org.au, our website, so you can re-listen to it at any time, and you can catch up on the other three processes that we've covered so far. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the next and final three major processes, so look forward to having you along there. Just a reminder that all of these resources are being made available by the Yarra Rangers Economic Recovery Committee, and they're funding the project, and yeah, all of the resources are being made freely available on my website, kimharris.co/togethernesseffects. So things that I'm talking about, if you want to catch the replays as well, I'm going to be putting the replays up there as well. So there's a couple of spots where you can go and download them, access them, and have at it. So thank you very much for joining me today. I look forward to coming back next week and talking about the final three processes of change that you can use to facilitate your progress along the stages. My show is on Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. So have a fabulous week. Bye for now.